Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the second epistle to the Corinthians. Listen for a word from God. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with the Scripture, "I believe, and so I spoke," we also believe, and so we speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God.
From the comforting words of Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The light, night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. The word of the Lord. In these summer months, both members of the congregation and we, the pastors, gather and scatter for vacation, family reunions, mission trips, various adventures. And so for the last few years, we have enjoyed having a focused theme to provide a sense of coherence for summer worship, even as we come and go. The last couple of summers, you may remember, we centered our preaching around the Bible stories that we teach our younger children from the Old and then from the New Testament. Admittedly, those summer series led to some interesting hallway conversations when a lifelong church-going person would say to one of us, "I had no idea that that story was even in the Bible." We pastors were left scratching our heads and asking, shouldn't all of us know the basic Bible stories we teach our three-year-olds? You may have noticed that we've added some Bible studies to our adult Christian education lineup in response to this yearning for more biblical literacy. This summer, our scripture readings will come from a wide variety of biblical literature, but the theme we have chosen is the gifts of the Spirit, sometimes called the fruit of the Spirit, those lists that appear in the epistles as gifts from God that are bestowed upon and identify people of faith. It seems fitting in the season of conflict and division in our country and in our world that we remind ourselves of our calling to be people blessed by God with gifts for mercy, joy, forbearance, and gentleness. And amid a culture bearing the scars of racism and xenophobia and all kinds of manifestations of fearing the other, that we recall that God has blessed us with gifts for prophetic witness and hospitality, for leadership and healing. Our hope is that by taking a season of months to lift up these gifts of the Spirit, we will be strengthened in our life together as the church. For we recall Paul's words concerning spiritual gifts, that there are varieties of gifts, and not one of us can possess them all. Each of us is gifted in different ways. Together, we bear complementary attributes of Christian discipleship, and we need one another to fulfill our calling as people of faith. So with that introduction, how do we know what spiritual gifts we possess? What is our source of knowledge concerning God? And how do we share our knowledge with one another in such a way as to build a more faithful human community? In his letters to the church at Corinth, Paul has a list of spiritual gifts that he says is not exhaustive, but includes speaking in tongues and faith, service and healing, prophecy and discernment. And among that list, Paul includes the utterance of knowledge. The utterance of knowledge is one gift among many. And interestingly, Paul speaks about knowledge to a people for whom knowledge and truth were hotly contested attributes, even as they are today. Corinth was one of the most diverse urban centers in the known world. Located on a major trade route between the east and the west, people came to Corinth from all over the place. Greek philosophy was highly influential. Many pagan deities were worshipped, and there was a large Jewish population as well. There was a variety of nationalities that comprised vast socioeconomic distinctions among the early church, which was made up of both Jewish and Gentile Christians. So back in Paul's time, as is true today, there were varying understandings of the source of knowledge. Some attributed knowledge to intellectual reasoning, others to emotion, and in biblical terms, knowledge also carries the connotation of personal relationship. There were all kinds of divisions among the early church in Corinth, including how people came to knowledge, to the ability to discern what is good and true. Last year, Time magazine ran a cover with a three-word question: is truth dead? It was an article assessing the blurry line between facts and commentary on the facts that run across the whole political spectrum in our country and various forms of media. There is a difference between a fact and an opinion. But we all know that sometimes these days, from both liberal to conservative commentary, point of view and opinion are presented as fact. Now, I do not believe that truth is dead, but I join others in thinking that how we discern the truth is highly contested. It was not so different when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. Paul's two letters to the Corinthians are replete with his prescriptions for how the truth of Christ should shine through diverse people and contested ways of knowing. In our first reading today, Paul says, "It is the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, shining in the face of Jesus Christ. We have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture. Paul, you see, traces knowledge of God all the way back to the first chapter of Genesis, as if to say, what has been revealed to us from the beginning about who God is now revealed to us in Jesus Christ. We can trace what we know about God through Scripture and through our experience of the resurrection of Christ. That's how we know. I am currently reading what many consider a most important book for our time. It's Jonathan Haidt's The Righteous Mind, Why Good People Are Divided by Politics and Religion. Haidt is a social psychologist who specializes in the psychology of morality, and he teaches ethical leadership at New York University's Stern School of Business. Based on research about how people make moral decisions, Haidt helps us understand how people come to knowledge about things and how we perceive truth differently. As children of the Enlightenment, most of us assume that we are rational in making decisions. When faced with moral questions, we think them through and appeal to reason, and then we decide what is good. But what Haidt's research shows is that we make moral decisions differently from the way we think we do. As a matter of fact, thinking has little to do with it. His research shows that we actually make moral judgments not rationally, but intuitively. We make them with our emotions. We know in our gut what is right or what is wrong. He says we make moral decisions intuitively and then appeal to reason to make our case as to why the decision is right. The metaphor he uses is the rider on an elephant. When it comes to moral decision-making, our gut is the elephant and our brains are the rider. The rider has a little influence, but not much. Simply put, we are not as rational as we think we are. Our decisions and our decision-making is more nuanced, and it causes us to have blind spots. This is why we have a hard time understanding that relative or neighbor or even friend who does not think like we do, who would never vote the same way we vote, who tunes in to a different channel for the news. This is why knowledge about the truth is always contested. To know something is more than rational. It's emotional, personal, relational. And this is also why having knowledge about God is a spiritual gift. It's not based on reason alone. Our gut, our intuition, our emotions, our relationships come into play. When it comes to the truth about who God is and how God is revealed to us human creatures, it's a matter of the heart as much as it is a matter of mental assent. We come to know God, the psalmist says, because we come first to experience that God knows us. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You are acquainted with all my ways. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me fast. There are so many of us in this church who have been blessed with the spiritual gift of knowledge. This congregation is filled with people nurtured in the faith that there is a good and benevolent God, because we have had an experience of God's gracious presence. But the gift we possess is not knowledge alone. The gift is the utterance of knowledge. God's gift of knowledge calls us to share it, to testify to the presence of God in our lives, to tell the good news of God's love and goodness, to tell the good news of God's beauty and righteousness, of God's yearning for justice and working for peace. The novelist Reynolds Price, who through a debilitating illness also became a person of deep faith, he once noted that the world is full of stories, but we crave the one true story we can trust. Reynolds Price wrote, "While we chatter or listen all our lives in a den of craving, jokes, anecdotes, novels, dreams, films, plays, songs, half the words of our days, we are satisfied only by the one short tale we feel to be true. History is the will of a just God who knows us. History is the will of a just God who knows us." What I think Reynolds Price is saying is that truths are a dime a dozen, including your truth and my truth. But there is within all of us a yearning for the knowledge of the truth about who God is and how we are identified as God's beloved children. And what the Apostle Paul would add is that we can look back through Holy Scripture, through the life of Jesus, through the affirmations of the Psalms, through all those prophets and kings and judges, through the earliest families of faith, to that beginning moment when God separated the darkness from the light, and there we will find our knowledge of God. That one true story is through thousands of stories, the story of a just God who knows us and loves us, the story of a God who brings justice to a broken and fearful world. And any one of us who has come to that knowledge has a special calling to tell that one true story. For the words with which we utter our knowledge about God have the power to shape the world in which we live. Amen.